Good morning, Bridgeway. Praise the Lord. So good to see everybody. Testing. There you go. Hello, everybody online, and hello, everybody in the house. What I was saying about the Ten Commandments is to make sure that next week you don't come to church if you don't want to identify and repent of your sins, because that's actually what we're going to do. Just like we did with the fruits of the Spirit, we'll say, Lord, which one do you really want me to repent over, and which one do you really want me to say, God, I need help in this area. So that's what we're going to do specifically more next week. But today, before I pray, I have just a couple of opening comments. One of the opening comments is that I was in the elders' meeting praying with the elders just last week, and something interesting happened. One of the elders was praying, and when he prayed, he mentioned first fruits. And while he was praying and he said first fruits, I had been thinking about the fruit of the Spirit, and I was like, the first fruit of the Spirit is love. And so after he said amen, I said, guys, I believe God said something like the first fruit of the Spirit is also love. You mentioned first fruits. There's something about first fruits we need to talk about. And another elder said, Pastor, me and my wife have given a first fruits offering to God at the beginning of every year. And he went on to say, my wife and I believe that God has kept us debt-free for the last 20 years because we have done this every year at the beginning of the year. Now, while we've talked about first fruits offerings in general, that you're supposed to give God your first and your best, we've never done that at Bridgeway. And then we look at the calendar, and guess what? January 1st falls on a Sunday. So this is what I'm going to challenge you to think about and pray about. Bringing a first fruits offering to God on January 1st into the house of the Lord. We'll talk more detail about that as time goes on, but I just wanted to have you think about that, because it's not connected to a campaign. It's not connected to a need. It's not connected to anything else except God. At the beginning of this year, I want to bless you with a first fruits offering. And then we'll watch the testimonies of what God will do in 2023. Just you wait and see how God elevates me in 2023. That's what I want you to be thinking about. So I just wanted to put that out there so you'd have it in your spirit. And now as we go into the Word of God, I want to ask God to teach us about His calling and His commandments. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, as we go into Your Word, we pray that Your Word would go into us. And Lord, even as we think about our own first fruits offering in the next year, we pray that 2023 would be amazing. Who knows what You have in store for us? And so we now, in the name of Jesus, give it over to You, this message. Amen. And amen. The Ten Commandments. Have you heard of them? It's the Big Ten. You find them in Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 through 17. And these Big Ten Commandments are broken into two compartments, or two categories, if you will. Love God and love people. The first four deal with our love for God, and the last six deal with our love for people. And so if you wonder, man, how do I remember all these commandments and how do I look at them? Just look at all 10 of them broken into two categories, love God and love people. Love God. The first four. Pick it up in verse 3, Exodus 20, verse 3. It says, have no other gods before me. The second one, have no idols. You find that in verses 4 through 6. In verse 7, the third one, no misusing the Lord's name. And then the fourth one in chapter 20 of Exodus, verses 8 through 10, which is remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. So those four in Exodus 20 from verses 1 to 10 are giving us the first part of the commandments, and that is to love God. Then the next six are about loving people. Now, before we move on to loving people, those first four commandments, let's look at them again. And at the end, I'm going to give you a one word for each commandment, but no other gods before me, no idols, no misusing the Lord's name, and remembering the Sabbath to keep it holy. We'll double down on those in the future. But I want you also to see the next six, which is all about our relationship with people. So we find in verse 12, picking up the fifth commandment, honor your father and mother, honor your parents. Verse 13, do not murder. Verse 14, do not commit adultery. Verse 15, do not steal. In the ninth commandment, verse 16, do not give false witness. And then the last one, do not covet. That's in verse 17. The bottom line, and what I want you to get from this message, is that a better life begins when we accept the call of God and obey the commands of God. A better life begins and extends when we accept the call of God and obey the commands of God. And when we think about the Ten Commandments, I want you to think about love. The fruit of the Spirit is love. We talked a lot about love over the last couple of weeks, and really it goes all the way back to these Ten Commandments. Love God and love people. And if you'll remember from Galatians 5, 6, the bottom line of that entire book is this verse. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself in love. And in that same chapter in Galatians 5, 14, it says this, that the entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. God really cares about the way we love him and the way we love other people. Now, what I want to do is I want to make two observations about the Ten Commandments. First, the call of God, and then the commandments of God. Then we'll bring it all to a conclusion. The call of God and the commandments of God. In other words, God was calling Moses to himself before he ever gave the commandments to the people. And I want to take some time to talk about those of us who are called by God. Because when God calls you, it can be a fearful thing. And God called Moses to the top of the mountain in the previous chapter in Exodus chapter 19. You know that God has called you for a very specific purpose beyond salvation. Yes, he's called you for salvation. But beyond that, God has called you for a work in the ministry. If salvation was the only thing God called you to, then after you got saved, he could take you home to be with him. And so the reality is that God has left you on the face of the planet because he has a specific call in your life and multiple calls over time, very possibly. And here we have Moses being called by Almighty God. And you know that God has called you, but how do you respond to it? I believe he's called you to ministry. I believe he has called you to a specific work. I believe that he's called some of you for marketplace in the ministry. I believe that God has called many of you to church ministry, prophetic ministry, evangelism ministry, even pastoral ministry. But called you are. And before we get into the commandments, I simply want to double click on this call of God in our life. You see, God specifically calls Moses and gives him instructions about how the people have to cleanse themselves and consecrate themselves and then come to the foot of Mount Sinai. And if you'll go with me to Exodus 19, let's just look at verses 20 through 25. This is what it says. The Lord descended to the top of Mount Sinai and called Moses to the top of the mountain. Now, I want you to notice something. We're talking about the top of the mountain. It's as high as man can go on his feet, but it's low for God. It says he descended to the top of the mountain. But yet Moses had to come up to the top of the mountain. God is so awesome that he will come down to meet us even when we can't go any further, wherever you are. And he doesn't always call everyone to the top, but he calls everyone to himself. And so here you have in verse 20, so Moses went up and the Lord said to him, go down and warn the people so they do not force their way through to see the Lord and many of them perish. Even the priest who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves or the Lord will break out against them. Verse 23, Moses said to the Lord, the people cannot come up Mount Sinai because you yourself warned us, put limits around the mountain and set it apart as holy. The Lord replied, go down and bring Aaron up with you. But the priests and the people must not force their way through to come up to the Lord, or he will break out against them. So Moses went down to the people and told them. So now God is separating Moses and bringing him and Aaron to the top of the mountain to meet with him. First, I want you to hear something. When God calls you, he first is calling you to himself. When God calls you, he's first calling you unto himself. Sometimes people want the call of God so they can go do something for the Lord. And what God is saying is, before you ever do anything for me, I need you to come to me. I need you to have a relationship with me. You want to do to find your security, to find your value and what you can contribute. I want you to find your value in who you're connected to. Not who you are based on what you do, but whose you are based on who created you. And this is difficult for some of us because some of us are more like Martha than we are like Mary. God, I want to do since you're in the house. I want to impress. I want to perform. And God is saying you need a Mary experience first before you get into a Martha execution mode. And so I want you to notice that when we talk about the call of God, this first observation, that God is calling us unto himself. And that in and of itself is amazing. To have a holy God call and choose you for a word or for a work is humbling and fearful and somewhat overwhelming. This isn't the CEO of your company calling you, nor the president of your country calling you, nor the chief of your village calling you, nor the royal king of your nation calling you. Even that would be a nerve-wracking honor and a humbling opportunity and a reverential episode of very high value if people of that status were to call you into their presence. But yet here we have the king of the world calling Moses. The creator of the universe, the God of gods and the king of kings, summoning Moses into his very presence. Can you imagine that? Just let that sink in. When God calls you, it's the almighty sovereign of the universe that beckons you to come. And first, he's calling you unto himself. Secondly, when God calls you, he's calling you away from the crowd. This is important because when God calls us, sometimes we want him to call all of us so we can all go together to the presence of the Lord. And in order for Moses to respond to God, he had to be separated from the crowd of people. And as a leader, this is not always easy because you want to be liked by people. You want to be with people. You want to be among the people. But if you're going to lead, whether in the military or in a business or in a nonprofit or in a church, if you're going to lead, oftentimes God is calling you to be ahead of the crowd and maybe even apart from them. And that's not always easy. But I'm reminded of Exodus chapter 17. Remember when the people were grumbling and complaining and Moses cries out to the Lord, God, in 17:4, God, what am I to do with these people? They're almost ready to stone me. And what was the Lord's response in verses 5 and 6? Exodus 17, 5 and 6. People are complaining. They come out of the wilderness, and Moses is about to pull his hair out, and he cries out to God, what am I going to do with these people? This is what God said. God said to Moses, walk on ahead of the people and take with you some of the elders of Israel. And take in your hand the staff with which you struck the Nile and go. I will stand before you by the rock of Horeb. Strike the rock, and water will come out of it for the people to drink. So Moses did this in the sight of the elders. Wow, God, I have a problem with these people. What should I do? And what does God tell him to do? God says, go ahead of the people. Take some of the elders with you. Go ahead of the people. And then he gave them direction of what to do. Now take the staff in your hand. And now I'm going to give you a solution to what they're complaining about. But he had to separate them apart from the people before he was able to speak directly to the situation. Some of us are looking for a word from God, but until you get apart from everybody else, God is waiting to say something to you that he only wants to say to you when you've come apart. But what happens is we want God to speak into our busyness. We want God to speak into us while we're in the middle of the crowd. And what God will do is sometimes separate us apart so he can minister to us to tell us what he's been trying to tell us and teach us for a long time. Some of us, even me, I have to tell you, was separated from everybody on my team when we traveled to Eastern Europe with COVID. So it was nothing but me in a room. And even in those moments, it was so emotional because God was separating me out. But sometimes the only way he can separate us out is by laying us down. So he can somehow speak to us in ways that otherwise we would not listen. And yet he says to Moses, walk ahead, but do not walk alone. He didn't just say, Moses, walk ahead. He said, get a couple elders to come with you. That's pretty cool. Walk ahead, but don't walk alone. This doesn't make you hoity-toity or elite or untouchable, but it does mean that you can't always hang out at the bar like everyone else does all the time. When God is putting you apart from others, you can't always be liked by everyone else. And sometimes you have to be set apart in order to be a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus even called his disciples, follow me. And many of them had to leave what was so familiar to them. There's even this one example where Jesus had to leave his parents. As a child, he was separated from them and they were looking for him. They thought that he was lost. And when they finally connected up with him, Jesus was questioned about his whereabouts. And do you remember what Jesus said? Jesus said in Luke 2:49, why do you seek me? Do you not know that I must be about my Father's business? Luke 2:49 in the KJV. Like, I needed to be separated in order for some business to happen between me and God. Some of us really want to follow the Lord, but we want to do it with our posse. But sometimes God wants to separate us out. I remember after getting saved at age 18 and really struggling with God about my call to reach as many people for Christ as possible, and going into ministry seemed to be exactly what he wanted me to do. And having gotten saved, I just remember the kind of life that I had lived before as a teenager and realizing that I can't take all of them with me, and I could share with them Christ, but the reality is, if I were really going to accept the call of Christ as a disciple of his, I would have to sort of like break up with my friends. Man, that's not easy. All of you are different in your relationship, but these were my boys. And we rolled together for years. And we weren't like a gang, but we were a crew. You know the difference, right? A crew are the people who just roll with you. A gang is something worse. Okay. But a crew is just people that roll with you. And we rolled together everywhere all the time. And now God just kind of breaks in and saves me. And I'm all by myself in a car driving down Riggs Road in Prince George's County, Maryland, and tears are flowing and the windows are fogging. And I pull over to the side and I give my life to the Lord. I say, Lord, I surrender to you. And I remember I broke up with the girl I was with at the time. I flushed the weed in the toilet. Now it's legal, I guess I could have. But anyway, my whole point was this was the struggle that I had, you know. And so I said goodbye to her, and I said to my boys, look, I can't do what we're doing, and I can't go with you guys to the parties and stuff like that. And they just thought, well, you know, DA's in a phase. He'll get over it. He's always going through some kind of phase. No, this wasn't Amway. This was, like, for real. Like, God, this wasn't a phase. I wasn't trying to sell stuff. I wasn't moving on to the next thing. It was a phase. It wasn't a phase. It was for real. And then God called me to leave the area and go to Moody Bible Institute. And I remember the struggle of that, too, because I had never been out of this area, with the exception on vacations to Atlantic City with my family and to Harrisburg, Pennsylvania to visit family. And that was about it. And now God's going to call me out of this area. And I think that for some of us, we probably struggle with this right now. God, do I follow you? And what does that mean? And it's not always just the easiest. I'm accepting the call of God. It's not always that. Sometimes God may even call you apart from certain people because he has to deal with you in a very particular way. Well, Jesus, even had this situation with his disciples. Just one more example. Do you remember when he went into the Garden of Gethsemane? He had three with him, Peter, James, and John. And what did he tell them? He said, y'all stay right here. And then he advanced to have time with the Father. You see how that works? Even though they're with him, they're not exactly with him, because God has to deal with some of us very privately. There are some things you experience with God that nobody else needs to know. They only need to see the glow. We can't share everything that we experience in the secret place. But people can see the glow when we've been in that secret place. And while Jesus was at a point of grief, it says that he was even bleeding tears in Matthew 20:26, I believe. He said, God, I don't even know if I want to go to the cross. If there could be a better way to save humanity than for me to have to go on that cross and be separated from you, please provide Plan B. And by the time that prayer time was over, he said, not my will, but thy will be done. Then he was able to reattach with his loved ones. Friends, I don't really know who I'm speaking to. I don't. But I do know this, that God is calling some of you to himself. And maybe some of you, even apart from the crowd that you're hanging with, at least for a time. But let me give you a grace right here. Here's a grace. You ready for a grace? God told Moses to go ahead of the people, but not go alone, and he gave him Aaron. See, that's a grace. God may no longer give you a posse, but he will give you a person. He gave Adam Eve. He gave David Jonathan. He gave Naomi Ruth. And now he's given Moses Aaron. He may not always give you a posse, but he will give you a person, because that's a grace. He even gave Jesus Mary. After everybody else was gone from the cross, nobody else was at the crucifixion, there was a grace that God had for Jesus. At least your mama's there. Like, God may, your posse may leave, but God, if you'll just give me a person, just to encourage me. He gave Barnabas to Paul. Just give me one encourager, God. Just give me one person, Lord. Just give me somebody who will stick with me, God, and I will follow your call. But I need somebody. Yes, I have you. But God, just give me one encourager. All the discouragers will be silenced if you can just give me one. And God has been faithful in my life to always provide that one. Beginning with my wife, Amber, but oftentimes even with other people, God has done that for me. Has God done that for you? Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Are you thankful for the person God has given you? That was not really in the sermon, so let me just keep moving because I believe there's more here for you. When you respond to the call of God, it's not always easy, and if you don't believe me, you just have to ask Jonah. Jonah did all that he could to run away from God. But here's a grace of God, and that is this. God doesn't revoke your call because you're rebellious. Some of you feel like, because I've been rebellious, God has revoked my call. And that is nothing but the devil to try to keep you in your rebellion. God is saying to somebody today, hardship doesn't revoke your call. Rebellion doesn't revoke your call. It delays it. But God could use those hardships, not because he's revoking your call, but because he's revealing your call in deeper measure. Sometimes you think the very thing you're going through is actually taking your call away, but it's actually turning your call into something deeper. And hardship, sometimes we think, is what's going to revoke our call. But I need to tell you that hardship doesn't mean that he is revoking your call in your life. Neither does divorce. Neither does bankruptcy. Neither does the death of a loved one. Your setback is just a setup for your comeback. And God knows that what you're going through, prodigal son, that when you get back, your commitment will be at a deeper level than when you left. And for some of you, when you come back and come out of what you got caught in, you will go to another level of connection with God that you've never had before. God never revoked Jonah's call because of his rebellion. My sister used to say to me, God will always give you time to get your sin right. That's a grace of God. Hardships may mean that his call is being revealed in your life at a deeper measure. Seeing God's call revealed in David Heiliger's life has blessed my soul. Pastor David Heiliger was our youth pastor. Some of you will know that, others of you won't. And he was on his way out the door. And I didn't know all that God was doing in him, but he really had a call to go do mediation ministry and go to school to learn how to do professional mediation. And so I'm thinking, well, you know, we might have to find another youth pastor because the pastor we had before him was now leaving. And so I went to David to have a cup of coffee with him at a little cafe. And I said, hey, listen, would you consider being youth pastor? I can't remember exactly what he was doing in ministry at the time, but I knew that the one youth pastor was leaving. Now here's David and us having a cup of coffee. And you should see his face when I said this to him. I said, I really want you to come and be the youth pastor or youth minister at Bridgeway. And he just put his head down like that, like you have no idea where I was on my way to. And so he went and he talked with his wife, lovely wife, Julie, and we had more conversation. And one of the things I said to him is, you want to do mediation? You can shadow me and walk with me, even as you'd be the youth guy here. You could shadow me and walk with me for a few years. I don't even think we put a time limit on it. It probably took longer than he thought, because 7 years later, he accepted the call to now do what he's doing, which is the director of Gracism Global, where he's been able to do more mediation on the ground than he ever probably thought he would and ever will do. There's a whole lot to be done. But he went with me when we were on the ground, and in Ferguson and with me on the ground in Baltimore when there were riots and things of that sort, and has been able to travel with me for years. And now he's the director of Gracism Global. What God was doing was not revoking his call to ministry, and he never thought he'd be leaving ministry, but he thought it'd be in a different way. What God was doing is he was revealing David's call in deeper measure. He never thought that he would be, a significant part of writing a revised version of my book, Gracism. But guess what? There's a revised version of Gracism that's coming out in May 2023. And we just found out this week, and I didn't even know until someone texted me, that they've already put it up on the internet. And here's a copy of the new book. I just want you guys to see it. It won't come out until 2023. And they just put it up on their website for pre-orders. So if you want to go to ivpress.com/gracism, you can pre-order the book. But I want you to see whose name's on that. Not only David Anderson, but with David Heiliger. That's what I want you to see, because he didn't know that. We didn't know that. But what he did do was accept the call that God had for him at that time. And now what God has done is revealed in deeper measure how that call would be lived out. Now, I should probably move on, because I do think this about people who are called by God, and then I'm going to sort of wrap this up and we'll double down on the commandments next week. But I do believe that those who are called by God don't often see the call, and they don't seek the call, and then they're surprised by the call. You know, and I bet you there's stories around the room and with you in your living room of, I wasn't seeking the call, I didn't see it. And I was surprised by it, right, Pastor Eli? I mean, like, a surprise, God's calling me to be a preacher, right? Pastor Sandy, God's calling me to be a preacher, Pastor David. Amazing. Well, the same is true for David, the shepherd boy. No one saw him. In fact, his own father overlooked him. And guess what? Don't be mad because people overlooked you. God will find you when he has a call for you, and he will elevate you in due season. So don't worry about that. Even with Jeremiah, he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I set you apart. I appointed you as a prophet to the nations. God had already seen him in his mother's womb. And Paul even said that God, why would you even appoint me? He says in 1 Timothy 1:12, I thank Christ Jesus, our Lord, who has given me strength, that he considered me faithful, appointing me to his service. Paul is saying this. In verse 13, he says, even though, can you say even though? Even though I was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance and unbelief. What are we saying? Well, first of all, I think I need to reiterate that a better life begins and extends when we accept the call of God and obey the commandments of God. Now, because of time, I'm not going to be able to get into all those commandments today. But I do want to ask you in just a moment, I'm going to have you stand so I can pray for you. If you are sensing that God is calling you to something very specific and you want to say to God, I hear you today, Lord, and I accept that call. And I want to pray that that call is becoming clearer and more revealed in your life. And then next week, we'll double down on the commandments. But I took way too much time to talk about calling, and I believe that it's for a reason. And so if this is you right now, if you're in your home, if you're watching on your cell phone, on your computer in the office, maybe just close the door, because I want this to be a time of response. So here in the room, the same is true. Are you willing to respond to the call of God in your life? Are you willing to be separated from the crowd for a while, if God demands it, for his glory and for your gain? And are you willing to steward what God has invested in you to serve him and his kingdom? And if that is you, then I want to pray for you, so please stand to your feet. Whoever you are, and I know it's not everyone, it can't be, but it's very specific for someone. And I want to pray before we bring the service to a close and Pastor David comes back up. I just want to pray that whatever it is that you are struggling with about this call, that if God said it to you, if God is moving you, then he's going to equip you. He's going to give you your person. He's going to give you his power. And if it's, this is for somebody, if it's God's will, it's God's bill. Some of you haven't accepted a call because you felt like you needed a business plan before the call. You felt like you needed God to show you how he was going to do it before he did it, before he's going to do it. You felt like, well, God, I'll accept it once you show me that it's going to be acceptable. And what God is saying to someone is, if it's my will, it's my bill, I'll take care of it. I'll resource it. Your person's coming, it just hasn't been revealed yet. Your power's coming. Just because it hasn't been revealed, don't stop the call. Respond now. Accept it now. You'll have your person. You'll have your power, and you'll have your provision. I promise you in the name of Jesus. And so if you're standing in the house, just lift your hands to the Lord. And wherever you are in the world, lift your hands to the Lord right now and say, God, it's you I'm talking to. The sovereign of the universe who's called me to the top of the mountain, who's called me apart from everyone else right now, to say to you one thing. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. God, give me the right people around me. God, give me the power I need. God, give me the provision. But I'm walking by faith and not by sight. I'm receiving and accepting this call in this moment on this day. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Come on, let's give God a great big hand for the word. God bless you.